If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We're going to continue with Lou's show until 10 o'clock.
Mr. and Mrs. Fix-It.
What am I obsessed with?
Your lawn.
By the
and
way.
And buying shoes and the way your pants fit.
Well,
and
no, I'm talking,
I think, is it TJ Maxx or Marshall's?
Let's
or
stay
Nordstrom
with the Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It.
Your
theme.
Lawn. You're obsessed with your lawn.
I'm obsessed with my lawn. This is Lou's guy that we have on the phone. If you have a lawn question, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line. Let's bring in Joe Polina from Tommy Polina Landscaping. Joe, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Joe.
Hello. Pete and Jane, good morning.
I was texting Joe this week. Unfortunately, Lou gave me your cell phone number, so when I have questions, I'm sending them right away, and I'm sure other people do, because I really haven't had a chance to work on my lawn because we've had so much rain, and I hope that I'm not too late putting down fertilizer.
Actually, no, you're not. Actually, you sort of are. You should have done the first application a while back, but it's pre-emergent. So you might get some crabgrass in your yard this year, Pete. So,
I have a little. The weeds are coming up right now. What do I need to do if I haven't done that yet?
Oh, simple. Just get yourself some stuff over the counter, some weed be gone, like Lou was talking about earlier. Just spray it on there. There's some stuff that's going to be difficult for you to get rid of, or creeping Charlie and clover, but just hit it a couple more times and you'll be fine.
And what kind of fertilizer? Do I put anything on my lawn right now?
Well, right now you should be thinking about your second application, which is probably something along the lines of a fertilizer with a little bit of a weed killer mixed in there.
Okay.
A lot of times they have what they call the sticking agent, where you spread it, it sticks on the weeds and it dies, and if it doesn't take care of it, then you hit it with a liquid weed killer.
Give me the name of something that I can buy today and apply on Monday.
For the lawn?
Yeah.
I always tell my customers, if you don't do it yourself, just go out and buy the Scotts 4-step method. I think it's 4 or 5 steps. It's got the crabgrass pre-emergent. It's got the weed killer in there. It's got the insecticide in there. It has the fall fertilizer. And the only thing you have to be careful is with the spreader when you put it on. You know, have you seen sometimes you drive by and there's big patches of dead grass?
Right.
It's somebody just over-applying. You know, just don't put it on too heavy. You know, follow the instructions. And I always tell my customers, don't get a drop spreader. I don't care what they tell you. Get a broadcast. It's less problems and less chance of burning.
Okay. So don't burn out your lawn. Jane, you had a question for Joe?
Yeah, Joe, first of all, Lou wanted us to tell you you're doing a great job. He said, make sure you say that to Joe. Secondly,
well, thank you.
We have under our lawn, it's underneath big tree covers, and there's a lot of dogs that run on the lawn, and so it gets all torn up. It doesn't feel like grass can grow ever. So the neighbor put underneath, I live in a condominium complex, the neighbor put underneath a green grate that goes under the soil, and then the grass is supposed to grow up from it. Does that actually work?
You know, it depends what size dogs you have. If you have like a Labrador or something, it's got to be 50, 60 pounds and above it. When they go around and they spin around, they're going to tear apart anyways. It's going to help, you know, with the smaller dogs. But, you know, the wear and tear is wear and tear. You know, there's so much, you know, you put on it.
What is that green grate called? Is that just like a normal thing to do?
No, usually when you have problems with an area, you know, where dogs are tearing apart, what I basically just work, unless you're dealing with somebody like Pete who's a turfy, you know, I just tell everybody, I go, look, you know, you just put some mulch down. It'd be a lot easier to take care of. Mm. And, you know, it's probably going to be less cost effective. Because the thought is, again, you know, they have a path. They're going to the same spot over and over again.
Right.
And it's going to be compact. And, you're going to have to put down some flagstone.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
You know what I love about Joe? When we had you on last time, you said we talked about bare patches in your front yard. And you said you could grow grass seed, but just get a piece of sod and put it down and water it on a regular basis, and it'll catch. That's what I love.
Yeah.
And I did that in a spot on my front yard, and it caught already. But I haven't done the fertilizer. That's what's making me nervous. I forgot all about it.
You got to do that today. There's no weekend trip for you.
Come on. 312-981-7200. Joe Polina from Tommy Polina Landscape. Where can people find you, Joe?
Info at TommyPolina.com. We call the office. at 847-698-6868. And well, not today, because obviously we're closed on holiday, but, you know,
right.
Getting an email.
708 area code. What can I use to get rid of dandelions and creeping Charlie?
We'd be gone. Dandelions are easy thing to get rid of. You know, I find it real amusing when I'm driving by and somebody's on their hands and knees trying to pluck them out because they have a root system down in China. So that one spray of the weed be gone, they'll get rid of it. Creeping Charlie is going to be a little more difficult. And sometimes I tell customers, if you can't do it yourself, you probably just call a professional because they have different herbicides that you can use. But, you know, most of this, and it, the most important thing, honestly, with weeds is hit them early, right now. You know, they're growing, they're soaking up all this water that's coming down, they're growing.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
You know, just put down a broadleaf herbicide on it, and 9 out of 10, you get rid of them.
Hit them early. I love that. 708 says, please tell me how to get rid of sod webworms, moths in the grass.
What is that?
I don't know.
Sod webworm is just a little worm. It's gray, and it basically just chews it all off. You basically have to treat it almost like a grub worm. And there's an insecticide that you put down in the month of May. It's called, it's in Scotchard method. It's made by Bayer. And that will basically just go on the whole season. And, you know, give you insect protection.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Joe Polina on the line. Let's go to Ed. Ed, what's your question for Joe?
Hey, I got a lot of shade, and I've got kind of wetness in the yard, and I've got moss. So how do I get rid of the moss? What do I do? Just dig it out? What?
Well, no. I mean, you could work with it, but if you want to get rid of it, you know, Russian Lou taught me this. If you really want to get rid of it on top of an area, you spray it with a white wine vinegar and water. But basically, moss is because of moisture. So you have to, you know, find out, are you overwatering? Is it in the, you know, underneath the tree? Is the area underneath the tree? If it is, maybe you want to cut some windows into the tree to get some more sunlight in there. And, or maybe you just want to put some ground cover, you know, in a shady area, but it'll cover the moss up and just basically just take over. The moss won't get rid of it.
Right now, we don't need to water our grass because it's been raining so much. But, you know, in June, late June and July, how often do we water our lawn? Do we do a half hour a week, half hour twice a week? How often, Joe?
It really depends on the water pressure. I always tell my customers, water it twice a week at 3-day intervals. To make a long story short, you basically want to give it a good drink of water, but you also want to give it a chance to dry out. Otherwise, the root system is always going to be up on top. And as soon as you get up a dry spell and you don't water it, it's going to fry out. So a couple times a week, I would say if you have a sprinkler system, if you have mist heads, anywhere between 10 to 20 minutes per zone. If you have rotary heads, probably about anywhere between 30 and 40 minutes per zone.
My last home, I had a sprinkler system. It was $1,000 and it was worth every penny. It was the greatest thing ever because I didn't have to drag the hose out there, and it was on a timer. It was wonderful. And my new house, I'm dragging the hose.
Why don't you just install fertilizer?
I don't have a grand right now. My wife would flip. Joe, hold on a second. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll take some more calls, okay?
All right, thanks.
Joe Polina on the line. Tommy Polina Landscaping, 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's Pete and Jane in for Lou Manfredini. His son is graduating, and he's never looked better.
So we're doing our best to imitate Lou.
And then at 10 o'clock, we are in for John Williams. Yes, on the phone with us is Joe Polina. If you have a landscaping question about your lawn, 312-981-7200. Joe, let's go to Patty. Patty, what's your question for Joe?
How do I get rid of the grubs? They're digging up my lawn.
It's easy. First of all, a lot of grubs problem that I see are with the people with the sprinkler system because they have a tendency to overwater. If you don't have a sprinkler system, chances are that there's a lot of moisture into the yard, but basically just an insecticide. As I was talking about earlier, there's a fertilizer with insecticide on there that you put on, they say in the month of June or July, and they last the whole season, and that's almost like a pre-emergent. And I am actually having a senior moment right now because I can't remember the darn name of that thing.
We all have them.
I'm like, oh, God, I can't remember. I can't believe it. It's very common. But at any rate, keep the watering down to twice a week. Make sure the area doesn't have a lot of water on it. But, you know, let the chance for a lawn to dry out.
and apply the insecticide. And if you see something, you normally don't see damage from grub worms until like the month of September, like around mid to late September, depending on how rainy it is. At that point, you know, you want to use like a post insecticide, something like that you water into the ground, but mostly keep the water down.
We always overwater our lawns, don't we? Because we're freaking out. We don't want our lawns to die out. I do the same thing.
Because you want the greenest lawn in the neighborhood.
Right.
That's not, you know, I remember, you guys remember a gentleman named Jim Fazell?
Yes.
The guru of the industry.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Fazell. I knew the name.
Yes.
He's the man, okay? Mm-hmm. And Jim Fazell once said, having the greenest lawn on the block is like having a 300-pound teenager. It's just not healthy.
Oh, so
you have to remember that, because you're overfeeding it with nitrogen. And what gives you that color? Nitrogen and iron. That's why last time we talked, I recommended some fertilizers that have a 2% iron. Now, that's how the golf courses do it. They put on iron. They don't put on all this fertilizer all the time.
Right.
So a little application of iron. You get the green grass, and you're not stressing the thing out.
Was that the fertilizer from Milwaukee, the Waste?
Yes. Yeah, that one. Yes, you remember.
What's the name of it again?
Milorganite.
Milorganite. Yes, available at Ace.
Hey, Joe, a lot of people... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, sorry.
A lot of people are concerned about the safety of their kids and their pets when they're putting all the insecticide on the to get rid of the weeds.
And there's some organic things out there, you know, as far as how well they work, the jury's still out on that one. You know, the rule of thumb is basically if you're worried about it, you know, do it like before you go away or something, or make sure the kids don't walk on it while it's wet. I mean, a lot of these companies have been out here for a long time and they're testing all this material. And, you know, it's obviously a legitimate concern. But just keep people off of it until maybe, you know, if you're really worried about it, maybe a day or two until it soaks into the ground, and then you'll be okay. But if you follow the instructions and don't have the insects to begin with, you never have to deal with this.
Okay, let's go to Tim. Tim, you did have a question about Milorganite.
Milorganite.
Milorganite, thank you.
Yeah, he just pretty much answered it. So, yeah, I just wanted his thoughts. I wanted his thoughts on it. You can't even keep it on the shelf at some of the big box stores because everybody's jumping on the bandwagon.
Everybody wants it. Yeah, Manfredini introduced me to it.
Can I ask, since he kind of answered my question, can I ask a quick little question about something else?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Joe, I have a big tree next to my patio, and I have a unilock patio, and the tree, we never thought it would get as big as it is, but it is getting bigger, and the roots are coming up, so when you go to cut the grass, you're almost hitting the roots. Would you recommend, like, putting maybe landscape timbers and filling that in with dirt, or what should I do with it?
Well, I'm assuming it's a maple tree, right, that you have?
Yes.
Yeah, those are the famous for being surface feeders. And, you know, going back to what you said earlier, you have a unilock patio. The nice thing about unilock, you can take it apart and, you know, maybe call it an arborist. But a lot of times what we do is just try to lower the patio a little bit. But a lot of these roots, you just maybe just cut off a little bit, provided you're not going to hurt the tree. Ideally, you want to do it when the tree's dormant. But as far as the timbers are on it, no. I mean, if you have a hard time cutting the grass, honestly, what I recommend is just throw some ground cover underneath it, some Pachycandra, Vinca, Euonymus, and they'll grow nicely, and you won't have to mess with it. They're also evergreens. And a Vinca will give you blue flowers, so they're an extra bonus.
Wow. Joe, you're the best, man. Thank you so much. What's your info again? Throw it out there.
Info at Tommy, T-O-M-M-Y, Paulina, P-O-L-L-I-N-A, .com.
All right, that's easy.
Great information.
I love it.
Joe, I wonder why Lou likes him.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, guys. You do the same.
All thanks, right. Joe.
It's Pete and Jane in for Lou, and coming up, Pete and Jane in for John Williams.
Can you spell that again?
The Milorganite?
Yeah.
Milorganite.
Now say it.
Milorganite.
That's because Lou had a spelling bee earlier, and now you have one.
I've used it, and it works fantastic. Trust me. It's 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Good morning, everybody.
Actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring,
stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
New day is on the horizon.
Here's Pete and Jane on 720 WGN.
Happy Saturday, everybody. It looks beautiful outside, but you know we're going to see rain sometime this weekend, and then it's going to get cold tomorrow, and we're all going to get crabby.
We're not going to get crabby. We're going to do everything we need to do outside today.
We're in for John Williams. John has the day off. Where is John today, yeah. Griff? What's he doing?
He's driving to Indiana for a party before the Indy 500.
Oh, that's fun.
But then he's not staying for the race. Then they're coming back.
What?
Yes.
Why isn't he staying for the race?
These are questions I don't have the answer to. We could get them on the line if you need
easily.
Need answer.
I've never been. Indy is a bucket list thing. If you're a sports fan, you got to go to Indy. You have to go to the Kentucky Derby. You probably want to throw in the Final Four in there. Maybe the Super Bowl if you have the patience to wait in line for 2+ hours to get in.
Pete, you can get the hookups.
Well, I'm sure we got a guy. We got a guy somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, shoot, man, at least stay for a little bit of the race.
Yeah, that's it. He's going to the party and then he comes back.
That is.
Is the party at the track or just elsewhere?
It sounds wrong coming out of my mouth, but I believe that is the right answer, that he's going for the party and coming. No, it's a friend is having a big, I guess, you know, down there they
right.
go crazy. So
I feel like John's the guy that if he gets invited, he's going to show up because everybody wants to see John Williams.
Of course.
Yeah. He's that happy guy. It's like, oh, John's here. This
so
is great.
Let me get it straight. We came early to fill in for Lou, who's
yes.
going to be with his son.
Correct.
At graduation.
You were Mrs. Fixit, Ms. Fixit.
And then we are here now filling in for John, whose son is here.
right.
Yeah. He's avoiding his son.
Abandoned
He's
his
avoiding,
son.
Yes.
yes.
He's with his other son,
definitely.
Actually.
Crossed state lines to avoid him.
Wait a second. Griff, you didn't get invited to the party?
There was no invite, no. But the other son was invited.
What?
It's tough.
Whoa.
You know, it's a tough beat for me. No,
oh,
I'm just kidding.
Now we know who's the favorite.
We can chug some milk here, though.
We could do that.
For all that.
So are you,
this is
Brenda?
My dedication to the station.
Are you your mother's favorite? And your other brother is your dad's favorite? Is that how it works?
I don't think that. I'm not going to break it down that way. No.
Are you sure?
I think we're all equally loved by every member
God.
Of the family is equally loved by every other.
Drilled into
I come
head.
From a family of 12, and it's hard for my siblings, but I am my mother's favorite.
No,
absolutely.
I actually spoke with your mom last
100%.
Week, and she confirmed that you weren't. Peter, you're not the favorite.
She did actually say that on the air, that I'm not her favorite, but in her heart, I know, in her heart of hearts. Yes, definitely. Memorial Day weekend. Thanks again to Joe Polina from Tommy Polina Landscape. We're all going to be working on our yards for the next week, and I got to get fertilizer down.
Now's the time.
I've dropped the ball. I get it. Yes. The unofficial kickoff of summer is this weekend, mm-hmm. which means Chicago crime. We're going to talk to Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson right after 11 o'clock this morning. So if you're Eddie... New mayor came in. The mayor said, we're going to keep him for the summer and see how he does. So is this a test for him?
And the other thing, do we say congratulations? You got to keep your job? Or
well, how long does he get to keep it? That's the thing. You just don't know. And for a guy, we've talked to Eddie a dozen times
absolutely.
On WGN Radio. Mm-hmm. He loves his job.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He loves this city. He loves the guys that work for him, and the men and women. He loves it.
Well, I got to believe that Mayor Lightfoot has confidence in him to allow him to stay.
Yeah.
And let's do this. Let's see what happens. Is it a test? I hope. I don't think so. I mean, she has confidence in him. The guy can do the job. And let's keep moving forward.
She was voted into office on change, and police reform is one of those things on her list. Hmm. So we'll see. So we'll talk to Eddie right after 11. And, of course, Joe mentioned Doc Emrick coming up at 11:45. Stanley Cup Finals on Monday. Does anybody care about hockey right now?
I think it's going to be a great final.
I do, too. My neighbor is a Blues fan, and I've had to put up with that. And, year after year,
How
they have
disappointment. How does that happen?
He's from St. Louis.
Well, okay, that's pretty easy.
Year after year, disappointment for St. Louis fans, and this year they snuck in. They fire their coach, and they get to the Stanley Cup Finals.
They had the worst record in, what, January?
Yes.
And just somehow power through all the way here.
Right. So there is hope. But it's kind of a bummer that we didn't have playoff hockey this year.
Such a bummer.
With the Blackhawks, yes. Memorial Day weekend means everybody's hitting the stores. I unfortunately went to Costco yesterday.
Oh, no.
I felt like it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Do you think that Costco's worse yesterday or today? I think right now.
Oh, it's terrible.
Costco is getting invaded.
Who are these people that can wait in line for gas? I'm talking 40 minutes.
Oh, I wait in line for gas at Costco.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's got the patience?
I try. Now I know when you wait in line and what that feels like. So I try to go on the off times when I think there's going to be no line.
Can you go after hours and get gas at Costco?
Oh, after the store closes.
After the store closes? Because I would do that. I don't know how that works because it's all self-serve.
Well, they always have an attendant there.
But after hours, the attendant's gone.
Maybe not. I don't. You know, I don't know. I've not been there after hours, Pete. So I couldn't advise you on that. Maybe you should drive by and see. 11 o'clock at night.
The line started at the pump. I would say it was probably 40 yards long yesterday.
Well, because everyone's going out of town.
So I get it.
Yesterday's the day to get the gas.
How much money are you saving per gallon? And is that enough money to save? For you to wait there
for
45 minutes.
It's the old time versus money debate.
Right. I don't think I could do it.
45 minutes is a little long. I'd have never waited 45
no
minutes.
No way. Uh-uh.
I've waited 20 for sure, but I'll do it.
20 is the cutoff.
Because once you're in and you've committed into 10,
you can't move.
You can't turn around.
No.
Do they have the samples while you're waiting?
That's a great idea, Don.
It drives me crazy, the people that wait for the food at Costco. It's like, can you people eat at home?
Well, and no one's moving fast in Costco. Like, I like to get in, get out. I know what I want. And then, you know, you just got to spend a couple hours. I mean, I get sucked into the samples. I gotta be honest.
I knew you did.
Yeah.
I don't even work the middle aisles. I go to the end aisles and I get my stuff and get out. I have a system.
Well, you go a lot more than I do, I think.
Well, I get my paper products there. I had to get paper towels. We're all out. Paper towels, toilet paper, napkins.
I like the triple ply, and they only have double.
They're fine. It's fine. They have great. Their paper towels are fantastic.
I can't afford to save that much money at Costco is what's happening when I go there.
Recipes this weekend. We all have to bring something somewhere.
Do you bring something? You're going away this weekend.
Yes.
You do. You bring the water. We know.
I have a case of water.
Yep.
I have beer. I have a bottle of vodka. What else do I have?
You get all that at Costco, don't you?
Chips, and we have some dips.
So you don't bring a specific recipe? Because I know that you cook. I know Charlie cooks.
Yes.
But you're not bringing anything specific.
That sounds like a recipe for a good time.
Yeah. Right.
Bring it a party.
Do you guys have something specific? Joe? Don?
mine would be in the vodka variety that I would bring.
Okay.
I don't get to go to too many parties during the summer, but my mom makes Snickers salad a lot, which I'm a very, very fond of.
Snickers salad?
Yes. Nice. Vanilla pudding, whipped cream, chopped up Snickers, and chopped up green apples.
Well, that sounds delicious.
It's amazing.
Excellent. That's excellent.
Well, anything with Snickers in it.
And
I'm
apples?
Sure it's going to taste
green
great.
Green apples, yep. Granny Smith apples.
Granny Smith apples.
Savory, sweet.
And it's kind of like, you know, healthy because there's apples in there.
Sure. If you add a little apple to it, everything's healthier. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what they say, guys?
Something about a doctor.
An apple a day.
Keeps the doctor away.
Exactly.
312-981-7200. Jane, you're going to share your potato salad recipe?
I have a famous potato salad recipe. I'll tell you the story behind it.
Okay.
And I will tell you why I bring it everywhere.
Oh, that's a nice little teaser right there. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So we want to know what recipe, what people are bringing to their party or picnic this weekend.
312-981-7200. It's Pete and Jane in for John Williams on 720 WGN. Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios, the 26th annual Cancer Survivor Celebration Walk and 5K happens a week from Sunday on Sunday, June 2nd, the Lurie's Cancer Center 5K Run Walk. And joining us in studio is Tim Pierman and Julianne Villa. It's good to see both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, guys.
Tell us about this race next week, because this is my first year, even though I've worked with Lurie's Cancer Center in the past. Tell me about this race, Julie.
So really, it's a celebration for those of us who have survived cancer and families and staff. It's a chance to come out and do something other than, you know, get medical treatment together. Like, when do you get, you know, everybody to come together and walk or run or, you know, and just kind of come together and have a great day, hopefully in Grand Park.
I absolutely love it. And you're a cancer survivor?
I am. I'm a two-time cancer survivor.
Two-time? What did you have?
So I have had both osteosarcoma and also colorectal cancer. So I've spent the last 8 years getting treatment at Lurie. There hasn't been a time when I've gone longer than 6 months without regular scans.
You're kidding. Oh, my gosh. You look so healthy and in great shape.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And Tim, what's your story?
So I'm a clinical psychologist, and I head the supportive oncology program. So all the things that patients need to help them through the journey, dietitians, social workers, psychologists, psychiatry, community outreach, those kinds of things. So that's what my
So are you the
does.
Point person over at Lurie's, one of the point people?
Yep, I'm the director of the supportive oncology program.
Wow, I just can't imagine. As Kate Harkin knows, who I've been involved with her for years, and Jane and I hosted the Goombe Bash, which is a Lurie's thing. I have four cancer survivors in my family. So everybody has a cancer story. I love the fact that next week is a celebration. But, you know, when people go in and they talk to you the first time, they got to be scared.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, this is an amazing time to be a cancer survivor. When this whole thing started in 1993, 26 years ago, this celebration, there were about 6 million cancer survivors in the United States. And if you fast forward now just a couple decades, there are now over 16 million.
Oh,
so the number of cancer survivors in just a couple decades has nearly tripled.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead, Julian.
And I can actually speak to that. So my story actually starts in the 80s. So I grew up at 8 years old. My older brother is actually a cancer survivor. So I, you know, grew up in, like, you know, going to hospital rooms and watching my grandfather, you know, talk about, like, you know, how could it be him instead of, you know, my younger brother. So my brother's a 35-year survivor. I don't mean to age him. You know, he is my older brother at this point. But I've seen the revolution that's happened in cancer research. And so I guess I just kind of grew up always being, you know, a really strong advocate for my own health.
Right.
And it's really fortunate for me that I knew, you know, right away that I always wanted to have a doctor that was associated with a place like Lurie. My primary care, my main doctor, sent me immediately to a cancer center as soon as I started having problems with my health.
And when did you find out, first of all, did you have bone cancer first?
No, I actually had colon cancer first.
Colon cancer.
Yeah. And so then there was about a 4-year lapse. And then, you know, I was chatting with my oncologist, making terrible jokes about how funny it would be if the colon cancer came back in my face, that I would, you know, that wasn't, you know, kind of an unlikely. I know.
Gosh.
I make those terrible jokes.
No,
sorry about
cancer
that.
Jokes.
I know. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Full license. And yeah, and we found out that was completely something separate.
Completely
so osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer,
Wow.
So, yeah.
So talk about, I mean, this is a celebration. This run walk is for cancer survivors, their families. It's a celebration, finally, that you can all get together. You're not, like you said, Julianne, being at the doctor's office or getting your scans. Anybody can come. Anyone that supports, anyone that believes, anyone that wants to be there, it doesn't have to be a cancer survivor and family.
That's actually one of the really cool things about this celebration, is that it's a time not only for patients, caregivers, family members to get there, but it's also the providers, the healthcare providers are there, the physicians, the nurses, the scientists that are doing the research behind the scenes. It's really a day that everybody truly gets together. And I think that's one of the most special things about this event.
My brother Johnny and my brother Dave will be in the race next week. So I'm training even harder because I want to beat them in the race.
It's a run walk.
I understand, but I still
want to
win.
I don't want everyone to think they have to get out there and, like, be competing. I want people to show up because they want to be a part of a great
event. Of course. It is a celebration, but I want to beat my brothers in this race. Yes.
Yeah, my oncologist is running. I believe he's one of the people who actually was, you know, an advocate for making sure that it was a run as well as a walk and a celebration. It's Dr. Mark Ogilnick, and I actually saw him race by me in the Chicago Marathon. I don't think he saw me wave because he was, like, in the zone at mile 23 and runs, you know, incredibly fast. So it's the first time I've ever actually gotten to see him, you know, in action and outside of, like, a white lab coat. So I'm pretty excited.
You're like, you're a real person. You have other clothes. Just like when you were a little kid and saw your teachers in the store, you're like, what are you doing in a store? You're a teacher.
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly. Yep. Yeah.
It's weird to see doctors out of their environment. It is. It's just very odd. So you run marathons too.
I do. So that's actually probably the reason that I, you know, really credit to me being diagnosed when I was. I've been with a team in training for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society since 2001. And so I actually was training for both a 100-mile bike ride and a 26.2 26 2-point mile run. I was going to run on 10-10-10 here in Chicago, and it was my early symptoms that really persisted and made me really, really dizzy, and that's how I ended up getting a diagnosis.
Wow.
So I, you know, really will always be for life an endurance athlete. There's no question about it.
But the thing is, you noticed early symptoms, and you said, okay, my body's telling me something. Mm-hmm. I need to know what's going on. And you got them checked out.
Yeah. And colorectal cancer is something that's very, very shameful for people to talk about. So yeah. Part of this celebration in Grant Park is the audacity of all of us showing up and saying, yes, I had this happen. I think especially for people who are older and an older generation, they don't like to talk about it. You know, things people talked about a female cancer, or heaven forbid I say colon and rectal cancer, right?
Right.
That also makes people uncomfortable. So I'm, you know, I'm going to be out there and, you know, talking about all the research that saved my butt, I guess.
I think you're also a really good testament to the importance of exercise in recovering from cancer. If there's a one-size-fits-all fix for a lot of the things that come along with cancer treatment, fatigue, depression, anxiety, cardiac problems, bone loss, all of those things, exercise does it. And so it really speaks to the importance of exercising throughout the cancer journey.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, hosting Living Healthy Chicago Saturday mornings at 9 on WGN-TV. But having done that show for 10 years, you know, I'm around a lot of doctors, I'm around a lot of survivors, I'm around a lot of great stories. The number one thing, every doctor, the first thing they say is exercise. You want to lower your blood pressure? You want to do this? You want to do this? Let's get moving. And I'm not saying go out and run a marathon if that's not where you're at. Move, just get a little exercise. And so I love the fact that you've, Tim, connected, you know, this being a cancer survivor and moving and getting out there to move and have some exercise in your life, because they talk about weight bearing exercises being great for your bones, especially after you went through chemo and radiation.
Yeah, well, I remember when I was in graduate school 30 years ago, hearing oncologists say to their patients, you know, you're going through aggressive chemotherapy, you're going to be tired, take it easy, lay on the couch,
right.
Take naps, eat ice cream if you want to, do those kinds of things. And we now know with the ensuing 30 years of research that that was the worst possible advice we could have given patients. So it's good that we're here today instead of 30 years ago, I think, in terms of our advice on exercise.
Yeah, it's good that you're doing a run walk and not an ice cream social.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm sure there could be ice cream afterwards, right?
For sure.
Tim Pierman in studio with us, Julianne Villa in studio with us, the Lurie's Cancer Center 5K run and walk. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll talk about how people can get involved. Coming up next, it's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. In studio with us is Tim Pierman, the Director of Supportive Oncology at Lurie's Cancer Center, and Julie Ann Villa. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, you are. I always
Villa
say
it rhymes with tortilla.
Yeah.
Two-time cancer survivor. That should get a round of applause right there. Two-time cancer survivor. The Lurie's Cancer Center 5K Run Walk happening a week from Sunday on Sunday, June 2nd. Before we talk about the race, tell me about your experience at Lurie's, because I've had two brothers that have been through it, and it's been unbelievable. Excuse me.
For me, there was no question of going to a major cancer research center. I actually am a trained research scientist myself. So being inspired by my brother's own journey, I think that was what drove my focus to go into academic research when I was an undergrad. And so being at Lurie, I was mentioning that there's everything that you could possibly need or someone who can connect you with what you need, and it's all in one place. So some of the things that I've really benefited from that, again, is a topic not talked about is fertility. So I lost my fertility as part of cancer treatment, but I had counseling as part of that, and I was allowed to ask questions about it before chemo started. And that's something that began. The researchers who started that and the counseling program that actually happens nationwide started at Lurie and is actually open to any and all cancer survivors. There's actually a phone-in line that you can do if your hospital doesn't offer it. And for me, it was just a counselor coming down the hallway to talk to me.
Tim, you've worked with a lot of patients. I mean, this woman has so much positivity. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing meeting you for the first time today. But you know,
wait, you guys don't know each other?
No.
I thought you were best friends.
No, yeah. I'm a super user, but I guess I was the
But I think, you know, what you see here is just that resilience, and I think that kind of cuts across cancer survivors. I think there's so much resilience that people don't always know that they have even before they're diagnosed with cancer or any chronic illness.
Right. Well, tell us about this race. What do we have to expect a week from Sunday, June 2nd?
Yeah, so anyone can get involved. You don't have to be a cancer survivor. You don't have to be a family member or a caregiver. Anyone can get involved. It's also a fundraiser, so you can donate. There is a website. You can form a team if you want to form a team. And all the money raised stays at the Lurie Cancer Center. It supports cancer research, so it's a really good cause.
Right here in Chicago, just to let people know.
Stays right here. And and people can pre-register, or can they can just show up, too.
Yep, either way. And it's usually a great day in Grant Park. Even when the weather can't be counted on, you know, a couple years ago, it downpoured the entire day. There were still hundreds of people that showed up. It's a really great, inspiring event, despite the weather.
I'm bringing out my wife and my 13-year-old son. Yeah.
So the 5K run starts at 9:15, and then the walk will start at 10, rain or shine. We got to be there.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to beat my brothers next week.
You are.
I think our team is called the Brothers McMurray. Seriously.
Love it.
I think it is.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Really great to meet you two. I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's actually my first time officially being part of this event. I had done it years ago with someone else when it was part of it. Like, it was his way of honoring his father. So it's my first time coming as an actual survivor and sort of honoring my own story. So again, you can do it to honor a family member. You can it to honor yourself, you know, just because you want to support the cause.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really powerful for me, and I'm thrilled.
So, Julianne, thank you for sharing your story. I mean, you're such a positive ray of light. I was telling you guys off the air, I'm getting the chills from just hearing and looking at you and talking to you. So thank you for sharing and encouraging others to get out there. And Tim, thanks for what you're doing. Tell us the name of the department that you sort of, this like this big umbrella apartment. I love it.
Yep. It's Supportive Oncology. And we have our staff deployed in all three of our downtown cancer centers. We're trying to expand into the suburbs and some of the other places that we are. So we're in process.
Such an important job. Great.
You don't look like a PhD. You look like you should head a rock band with the tats. And is that a Panerai watch you're wearing right there?
It is.
Yeah.
It's
like Chris Martin from Coldplay a little bit.
Right. He does. That's it. You nailed it.
You guys are too kind.
What is the website? You guys, what is the website people can go to?
If you Google the Lurie Cancer Center 5K, it'll pop right up.
And we'll put it on Facebook, too.
Perfect.
People can register, and I'll see you a week from Sunday.
Out. Pete's going to race you.
All right.
I know he is.
I am.
Tim looks
like
a runner, Pete.
Yes. Thanks, Tim.
We look forward to seeing you.
Good to see you. 720 WGN. It's Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Happy Memorial Day weekend. It's the unofficial kickoff of summer. That means we have to look out for crime, and joining us, I feel like we did this
season
last year at the exact same time.
I feel
time
like we did it, too.
It's our superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, Eddie Johnson. Thanks for taking time out, Superintendent. How are you, Eddie?
I'm great, Pete. Thanks for asking.
You're going to be on the streets all weekend long, aren't you?
That is correct. Myself and the mayor will be out there, so we just want to make sure people have an enjoyable holiday weekend and that we can keep public safety at the forefront of everybody's thoughts.
Now, Eddie, the mayor rolled out the strategies for summer crime. How does this differ from years past?
Well, I think, you know, we've always collaborated with our other city agencies and, of course, our federal partners, but I think What's different this time is the fact that all of those city agencies have been highlighted now, and they'll be out there, actually out there with us. They always work behind the scenes with us, but now they're actually being held accountable for public safety also.
Superintendent, Mayor Lightfoot says the way to combat gun violence is to actually treat it like a public health crisis.
Well, you know, I think that there is merit in that, you know. The thing is, crime is a complex issue, and the police, let's face it, we're the enforcement arm of when something goes bad. So when people commit crimes, you know, sometimes, not all the time, some people are just criminals. But those that are not, then that means we failed somewhere in the system in terms of trying to get them additional resources. So I think it does have to be a collaborative effort, and we have to take a holistic view on how to reduce crime. So I'm good with that.
Mayor Lightfoot rolled out the strategies for this weekend. You're going to have 1,200 more cops on the streets, and you're going to use religious leaders and youth programs. How is that different from what you've done before? I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, Yeah, we have. You know, as I said, those pieces of it are not very different than what we've always done. We've always utilized our faith-based community and community stakeholders to help us out during high-profile weekends such as this. But again, I think that the major difference is the other city agencies, our sister agencies that were usually behind the scenes are now. Okay. Yeah, they're now being held to a higher standard, and they're also being accountable for what goes on in the city also.
And does that sort of, you know, go along with the correlation between gaining the neighborhood's trust in police and then the police being able to prevent criminal activity?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, Jane, you know, you have to have a relationship with the community that you serve, because you often heard me say, the Chicago Police Department is only as strong as the faith that the communities have in us, and that's true. So I think with engaging them more, we rebuild that trust where it's been fractured, and we gain trust where we've never had it before. But, you know, at the end of the day, we need these individuals to help us to solve crimes. You know, you've seen us solve many major crimes in the past few months, and a lot of that is because of the information given to us by the community. So you have to maintain those relationships.
Sure.
Yeah, makes sense.
Important to work together.
We're talking with Eddie Johnson, the Chicago Police Superintendent. Illegal firearms, we've talked about 1,000 times. We've talked about tougher gun laws. Can you explain to people listening the difference between Chicago's gun laws and New York? Because New York's crime rate with guns is much lower than our city. Can you explain it to people?
Sure. So in New York, if you get caught with an illegal firearm, there's a mandatory 3-year sentence. You know, no questions asked. If you get caught out there on the streets of New York with an illegal firearm, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You get that mandatory 3-year sentence. Here in Cook County, it's not like that. You know, we'll often catch guys with illegal guns out there, and, you know, sometimes they'll get maybe probation. You know, but they don't get the jail time that we see in New York. And when you have that severe of a consequence, you think 2 or 3 times before you take that illegal weapon out on the street. You know, here in Chicago, or in Cook County, I should say, you know, we just don't have that severe of a consequence. You know, although I will say our laws are written that way, but it's just not enforced in that manner. So until we get, you know, some comprehensive gun laws that are, you know, it's really a dilemma between mandatory sentencing, and so we pushed for the repeat gun offender law, which went into effect in 2017. Of course, I don't know if we have the political will in this state to go as far as New York did, but there has to be a consequence for people using, you know, illegal firearms, especially repeat offenders, you know, because we see time and time again where it's the same individuals that are using these weapons. You know, when that cop arrests this guy on Friday and then next Tuesday they see him out on the street again with another illegal weapon, you know, that's demoralizing mm-hmm. for the cops. So I just think we need to get tougher in that regard. And don't get me wrong, I'm not in favor of mass incarceration, but there has to be a consequence right. if you break the law.
I mean, we've heard it time after time where someone gets thrown in jail for illegal firearms, and then they're let out, and then 4 days later, they get a gun and they shoot somebody.
Absolutely. You know, now I will say this. In the last few years, we've worked really hard with Kim Fox and her office in terms of driving up the conviction rate for illegal guns. And so she was gracious enough to provide assistant state's attorneys to go out to our districts and our detective divisions to give us better training on what they actually needed. And I'm happy to say that the conviction rate did go up. Now we need our judicial partners to help us out a little bit with that.
It just seems like a no-brainer. Why would someone be against the mandatory 3 years? I just don't understand it, especially the violence that we've seen in this city.
And the fact that it's so easy to get an illegal firearm.
There is. But I think we're suffering from the hangover from the failed war on drugs back in the 80s and 90s, where a lot of people of color, you know, probably were inappropriately sentenced for low amounts of drugs. And, you know, it led to mass incarceration of minorities. And I think that right now people are afraid to go down that road. But the difference is, in my mind, is that we're talking about violent people. You know, I am no fan of that low-level drug stuff. You know, we don't have to sentence those people to 20 years in prison.
No.
I'm okay with that. But violent offenders need to know the city of Chicago and the county of Cook just won't stand for that. And until we send that message hard and fast, we're going to keep spinning our wheels about trying to get these illegal guns off the streets.
So do you have that conversation daily, hourly, with Mayor Lightfoot?
Yes, we've had a lot of conversation on that in this short period of time. So I'm encouraged, and I'm hopeful that she can change the minds of some of our state legislators, you know, because that's what we really need to go into it. So we'll see what happens. But I am encouraged. I am.
Superintendent Eddie Johnson on for a few more minutes. What's your day like today and your day like tomorrow? Walk us through it. What are you going to be doing?
Okay, so today I will be going down to Chicago and State with the mayor and the chairman of CTA, Dorval Carter, and we'll take a look down there because we know Chicago and State, when they come out of the L, the tubes down there, that's a flash point of the youngsters being problems, you know. So we'll leave there and then head to North Avenue Beach, take a look around there and see how it's going, myself and the mayor. And then later on this evening, the mayor and myself will do a roll call over in Gresham in the 6th District later on tonight. So we'll be out there pretty much all day today. And then tomorrow we'll kind of just breeze through the city, taking a look around to see what's going on. And if the need be, you know, we'll call in additional city resources to help prevent whatever we need to address.
So does today's day and does this weekend set a tone for the summer as far as police presence on the streets and in the neighborhoods?
Yeah, it usually does, because let's face it, this is the unofficial kickoff to summertime. So we kind of get a glimpse of what we might be looking for, you know, looking at when the summer months actually come. So, yeah, we do take this and gauge what happens on this weekend to see if we need to make any adjustments, you know, when the kids get out of school for the summertime.
Right, and there's just a break-in, I think it was on, was that Michigan Avenue or Oak Street just yesterday at a store. So I would imagine that's all sort of part of this crime.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you're going to see a huge police presence out there during this Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, then going into the summer months. You know, but we can't be everywhere at every moment, of course. But we do have a lot of resources in place. And that's one of the great things about utilizing the other city agencies, because a lot of times they're places where we are not. And when we have that direct link with them, they can get a hold of us right away and we can respond quickly, which is a lot of the reason why we're putting up that summer mobile unit and then the new CTA mobile unit that we put into effect, because those units give us the ability to be real nimble and quick in our response if we have problem areas.
Boy, I could never do your job. I just don't. I wouldn't have the patience, and I could just, I never do it. And you're always so calm. And every once in a while, we'll see a bit of emotion on a press conference, and I love it. I just love what you do, and I know you love this city.
I do, Pete, and I appreciate those words. And I tell you, you know, for me, if the troops out on the street see me starting to hedge or you know, lose my emotion, then they'll do it too. So I don't want that. So it's my job to stay calm, not only for them, but the citizens of this city, because you make better decisions when you have a clear head.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we're a world-class city. People from everywhere come to visit. I love living here, and I hate the crime. So thank you for your work, and let's keep going.
That's right. Let's have an enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, and then have a great and safe summer also.
You're the best, Eddie. Thanks for coming on. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Pete. You all take care.
Thanks, right. Eddie.
That's Eddie Johnson, our police superintendent. Kind enough to come on.
Busy day today.
So busy.
Kickoff of this. I hate calling it summer kickoff of crime season.
It is. Yeah.
And it's just because it's warm and you get out. I mean,
well, that's what they're prepared for. We've seen this in years past.
Every year,
and that's why they're going to try to roll something else out this year. And
I like what he was saying about the new units on the bus units and the CTA units.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they're out there on the street.
Yeah. It's Pete and Jane in for John Williams, 720 WGN. And thanks again to Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. I could never do his job. Talk about a guy that just remains calm and wants to do the best for the city, and people just come to him with problems.
Yeah, he's got to sort it all out. That's why he does his job, because he loves it.
Yeah.
It's not a job for you.
It's a shame that when summer hits, we think crime right away
it's,
now.
It's an awful shame that that's the first thing we think of, because like I said, we're such a great city that the last thing I want to worry about is walking down Michigan Avenue and a break-in at the Dior store. The last thing I want to worry about is a drive-by shooting in any of these neighborhoods.
When did the flash mob thing become a thing?
You mean like they were saying, he says the when people come out of the Chicago and state
group of kids and they steal purses and phones or run into a store, grab a bunch of stuff and take off.
And the other thing I've heard about, and I could be wrong about this, is that, this is what happened. Somebody in my neighborhood was getting broken into, and it was is why I know about it, because it was a car and they drop the people off and they drop the kids off in a different area. They don't live in the area. They go in, they try to break into the homes, and then they pick them up somewhere else and drive them to another area. So this was a new thing that was happening, that they would drop people off, do the crime, get back in the car and go somewhere else if they weren't caught.
Wow.
I know, my neighbor was telling me about it this morning when I was leaving for work.
Jeez.
I know.
You ever been robbed?
Yes, I've been robbed.
It's terrible.
My house was broken into. It was awful. You feel so violated. Here, I was also broken into another time, and my car was stolen another time. Yeah, I've been robbed.
You had a car stolen?
I was at a car wash, and it was about to rain. It looked outside like it looks now. Yeah, I was getting my car washed.
I don't mean to laugh, but nobody gets their car stolen from a car wash.
It was the strangest thing. I thought I skipped time, but the car went through the wash. I was standing there waiting for it to come out. It was one of those big ones where like they could do 16 to 20 cars at a time. So I was sort of standing on the island. It comes out, the guys dry it, and you go over. But I was the furthest away I could be looking at the lanes of cars. It was like the fifth lane, you know, all the way out by the street. And I was wearing workout clothes. And I said, well, I don't want to stand by the street near my car, because I didn't want people, you know, it was like shorts and it was, you know, I didn't want to be standing on the street in this outfit. I don't know.
You were being vain.
No. I just thought it was, I wasn't dressed appropriate for people to, you know, I just wasn't right. Anyway. Yeah. And so I waited where everyone else waits. I looked down for 1 second. I looked back up because I saw my car pull out, looked down, looked up. My car was gone. It was a matter of like, maybe 10 seconds. And I thought, wow, that was fast. Where'd my car go? I walked out there and said, oh, the guy took it. What do you mean the guy took it? He says, yeah. He said, this is my car. And I took it and drove away. I got it back 5 days later. It was ripped to shreds. The lining, everything was crashed. It was terrible. Everything was stolen out of it. It was a really bad experience.
Oh, my God.
They caught the guy, though.
You're kidding.
I swear.
They never catch the guy.
They caught the guy. He went to jail.
Yeah, it's a felony. He stole a car.
I know. It was an awful...
It's called grand theft.
Awful situation. But it was so weird. I thought I was losing my mind because I looked down.
So you clean your car, you get out, you see your car, you tilt your head down, and your car is gone. Some guy just hopped in it.
Yeah, and the guy, whoever was cleaning it, said, oh, he just drove off. We didn't even finish drying it. So they were targeting cars coming through, and the person got in my car and drove away.
Have you taken your car to get washed since then?
Nope.
To that place. No,
you should see how dirty my car is.
It is.
Dirtiest
I
car
saw
ever.
It. It is dirty. Bears. I'm a season ticket holder for the Chicago Bears, the 2020 Super Bowl champ Chicago Bears.
I hope so.
This is 2019. Yeah, that would be next February.
Yeah.
Okay. Section 251, right above the time
clock.
But
do you have this?
You brought a bear mug in today. That's funny.
I brought a bear mug, a Chicago Bear coffee mug.
The Bears released their top 20 players of all time.
Yeah,
it's the 100th anniversary. Griff, did you see this? You haven't seen it? Joe Brand, you saw it.
I did. I did see it.
We all knew that Walter Payton and Dick Butkus would be 1 and 2. I have to tell you, when the list came out, I sent a text to number 99, and I said, who do I need to go over and punch in the neck? How does Hampton not make the top 10?
A lot of people are frustrated about that, and Brian Urlacher, too.
Urlacher's at 14. Interesting. I don't know much about Bulldog Turner, Do you know anything about him?
there's a lot of names on here, and I know I'm dating myself with this, but there are a few names that I don't know much of at all.
The Bears released the top 100 players of all time. At number one, Peyton. Number two, Butkus. Number mm-hmm. three, Bronco Nagurski. Number four, Sid Luckman, good old number 42.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, Gale Sayers. What was Gale's jersey number, Jane? 40.
That's what I said.
40, 41, and 42, all retired by the Bears. So you have Gale Sayers at 40. 41 was Piccolo. 42, Sid Luckman.
Who's 43?
No name.
That's my favorite number.
40, 46, of course, Doug Plank.
What about Doug Plank?
Friend of the show.
Is he on?
Was Plank in the top 50?
I don't think
Boy,
so.
Boy, that's a great question.
I
don't know.
Are all...
He was 99.
Was he really?
He was 99?
Yeah, right in front of Patrick Manley.
What?
See, I mean, have you
Patrick
dissected
Patrick Manley
it?
Was number 100?
He was.
He's a snapper.
I think that's kind of why they gave him 100.
Sure, because, you got to give it to a snapper.
What was it, 16 consecutive years?
Come on.
I think a lot
a
went into
snapper?
This.
I could do that.
A lot went into this, aside from just talent. It was, you know, what kind of personality are you to the Bears franchise?
Mike Ditka at number 6. Was he that good of a tight end back in the day?
See, I don't think he was that great, right?
I thought he was mediocre.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, isn't the whole his number being retired thing? I mean, think about how long it was retired after he was a coach. It's not like it was
right.
after
right.
he was retired as a player.
Yeah.
Ditka at number 6, Bill George at number 7, Bulldog Turner at number 8. Hold on, let me finish.
All the guys on the defense from 85 defense on?
Most of them.
Okay.
Number 8, Bulldog Turner. Number 9, Doug Adkins. Number 10, Danny Fortman. And 11 is Hampton. So 11 is Hampton, 12 Dent, 13 Jimbo Covert, who was an offensive player on the
I know.
85 team.
Wait, shouldn't you just be happy to be on the list?
Yeah, but if you're Hampton, you're one of the greatest Bears of all time.
You should
be in the
11.
Top 10. Yeah, but you should be top 10. This is Hamp we're talking
You
about.
Said you texted him?
I did.
What'd he say?
Hold on. Let me grab it
if
right
you
here.
Can say it.
He had a funny response. He loves the Bears.
Yeah, so he's happy he's 11.
His response was, tough crowd. I got bulldogged.
That's good.
Yes. But, yeah, it's something to talk about. I mean, how does Hampton and Urlacher not in the top 10? Interesting.
Because there were 10 other people that they wanted to put before them. I'm happy that they're...
Often,
10 and 11.
Sorry. Do teams often do stuff like this? It seems like a weird thing for the organization itself to put together.
Well, it's 100 years this year.
Right.
The Bears have been in existence for 100 years.
I guess the ranking is what surprised me. When you said that there was a list, I thought, well, they'll just throw out all the names of the greatest Bears and everyone will be happy. But to rank it, then it introduces all this controversy.
Right. And we're all talking about it.
Yeah, I guess that. Maybe that's
I mean, idea. Come on. You tell Chicago to rank Bears players, and they're going to talk about it for months.
Mike Singletary at 15? I think that's a little high for the Samurai. I'm sorry.
You've got a better outlook than I would on this, because...
Devin Hester at 20?
See,
I asked if Hester was on the list.
That's surprising. I mean, that's not surprising. It's just, that's what I mean. It's not just on sheer talent. It's mm-hmm. what they meant to the organization, what they meant to the franchise at the point that they played.
Okay.
Or coached or whatever.
What about Peanut Tillman?
Not in the top
20. Yeah, he's not. That's right.
Steve McMichael at 19. Mongo.
He's going to be mad about that.
I think he's happy to be in the top 20.
Don't get him mad.
Give him a bourbon, he's happy. You know.
Lance Briggs, 28.
Oh, Lance Briggs is on it.
Mm-hmm. Good old number.
Sounds like
double nickel.
They just put everybody on it.
Well,
I mean, odds are you're going to know yeah. the name if it's 100 great Bears players.
Right.
Right. Everyone's popular.
I have to look up Bulldog Turner and Doug Adkins at 8 and 9.
What did you think about Khalil Mack being on there?
What number was Khalil Mack?
60.
He made a huge impact in his first year. But greatest of all time?
That's what I mean. The 60th best player in Bears franchise history.
He will be the greatest of all time, or one of the greatest of all time, but right now he was great. He was great last season. Was he in the top 100? Maybe. I don't know.
Cody Parkey on the list?
Stop it.
I don't see him. You know what? They thought about putting him in twice and then even a third time, but it still wasn't enough to get him in.
Yeah. Okay. Quick break. Stanley Cup Finals on Monday. We'll talk to our old friend Doc Emrick, who's going to be announcing the Stanley Cup Finals. It's 720 WGN. It's Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our next guest just won his sixth straight sports Emmy for play-by-play. He will be announcing the Stanley Cup Finals this Monday as the Blues take on the Bruins. It's our old friend, Doc Emrick, who is about ready to hop on a flight. Doc, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
We are doing great. First of all, congratulations.
Congrats on the big sports Emmy.
Oh, thank you so much. Jane, it's great to talk to you. You're on at all hours of the day and night, you two.
It would say, call us, we're here.
Well, Doc.
It's great to have loyal people like WGN has with you two.
I was explaining to people, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jane and I were working at 11 o'clock at night, and I get a text from you, and you're like, you're on at all hours of the day. And I'm like,
well, I have great admiration for both of you because I know all of the philanthropic work and the charity work that Jane has done, and I admire anyone that can learn over 10 lines and be on stage, because I tried a little of that in high school and in college, and I admire anybody that can do more than 10, and I'm sure you've done more than that, Pete, in your time.
Maybe 11. That's about it.
The problem, yes. Doc, the problem with memorizing so many things, this is what I found, is I can't remember a darn thing anymore. I can memorize something for the time I need to memorize, but then I don't remember even what happened yesterday. People are like, you don't remember anything. I go, I memorize it for 1 minute, and then it's gone.
You know, Jane, I've admired the people that call horse races a lot, because those are the people that have to remember it and then in 20 minutes or 15 minutes forget it and remember those in the next race. If I get an assist wrong, there are probably people not knocking on the door wanting to break my arm for it. So I admire people like Larry Colmus, who does all the Triple Crown races for NBC, and people that can do that. But one of the things that I did have exposure to a long time ago was the memory book, which Jerry Lucas and one other astute person authored, which enables you to make word pictures out of things. And it's actually helped me in the Olympics, because you run into a lot of athletes that you've never seen before and you're probably not going to see again, but you have to learn how what their names and numbers are, and so there's no way to do it. You go to practice and you can look at them out there, but you have to remember their names and numbers under the gun, and so you create word pictures and with right. their name and their number, and that's kind of how you do it. But I've sort of led us off the rails here. What did you want to talk about?
Well, today? You. We want to talk about you.
Jane, you're so kind. I've been very blessed to have wandered through this, growing up listening to WGN, but also being a part of hockey casting for 46 years. So that's my story. Now, what about you two?
Well, Doc, hold on a second. You won your sixth straight Emmy, and I was reading the article, and I saw that you've been announcing hockey since 1973?
Yes, 1973. It was a different sport back then. Neither of the two of you were born at that time, but had you been, you would have seen a different game, because the games lasted about 3 hours and 15 minutes instead of the 2 hours and 25 minutes that they do now. But much of the time was consumed with 5-minute major penalties for fighting. Yeah. We don't have as much of that now. The last time I checked, we've had 80 games in these playoffs, and the last time I checked, we'd had 3 fights. In 1987, for example, about the same number of games, we had had 85 fights. So it's a radically different sport now than it once was.
Sure.
But, yeah, I came through that era, and I've come through the current one, and both of them were exciting times with very committed athletes, and that's what we have that has made the game so good. We have athletes that are really skilled that make this great commitment at this time of year. They're all paid the same amount. They get their playoff share at the end of the playoffs, and nobody talks about the money because it's rather small compared to what they're used to. But that's not the reason they're out there. They're out there to try and get their name on a trophy that they can't keep. And if they're really lucky and they win the whole thing, they get a ring that's really gaudy that they'll rarely wear, but they'll always be a Stanley Cup champion. Okay. Have you ever seen the Blackhawks rings?
Yeah.
I have, yes. Yeah.
Aren't they something?
They are gaudy, but I would love to have one.
Of course, even if I never wore it ever.
Yeah, I've talked to some of the Bruins from 2011, and that has been, what, 8 years ago? And asked them how many times they've worn it, and oh, maybe once or twice. When they go out to a real formal occasion, or when they're invited to a banquet, or when they have to speak publicly, they'll wear it. But most times not, because it's so large and it's so overbearing. Certainly not when they're water skiing or doing something like golfing in the summer. Yeah, it's more of a... It's more of a formal thing.
You can't wear that ring playing hockey.
No.
It's a novelty.
And you're in and out of dressing rooms all the time. And of course, back when the Blackhawks won in 61, in that era, they got no rings at all. Didn't happen. They weren't given rings, but now it's all a part of the thing. You make a lot of money if you're an owner of a team that wins the Stanley Cup, and then you make a small deduction for all of the rings you have to buy. And the small deduction is really a large deduction when it comes down to it, because the Red Sox had 116 diamonds in each of the rings that they handed out.
That's
they really do become large, yeah.
Right. We're talking with Doc Emrick. The Stanley Cup starts on Monday. We'd like to think here in Chicago that it's not as big, or it's not that much of an event as when the Blackhawks were in the Stanley Cup Finals.
You think there are torn fans in Chicago on who to root for here and who to follow? I think it's going to be engrossing hockey, because it always is. But I'm kind of curious who Blackhawks fans are going to be pulling for.
Doc, my neighbor
I don't have a grasp. I think you have a better grasp than I do.
My neighbor is from St. Louis, and, you know, I've seen him year after year. He's become a great friend, and year after year, the disappointment with the Blues. And who would have thought? A team that was in last place, fired their coach, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals now.
Yeah, in the morning of January 3rd, they were absolutely dead last, and now here they are. And that's the wonderful thing about, if you can get in, and that's the nature of this sport, if you can get in, you can get to the final and you can win it. The Los Angeles Kings just barely made it in 2014, and then they won the whole thing. All you have to do is qualify, and there are other sports where you got to be a favorite, and usually you're a ticket right into the final if you're the favorite going in, but not in this sport, because our favorite was Tampa Bay, and they got waxed in the first round by Columbus. So
right.
It just doesn't happen that way. But you two have your thumb and forefinger on the pulse of Chicago, so you're a better guesser than I am as to how many are rooting for the Blues and how many are rooting against them.
Jane?
I know in my house, I'm going to say the person I live with would be rooting for the Bruins, not the Blues.
Because mm-hmm. your fiancé is from the East Coast.
Correct. And they're a huge hockey family. So, Doc, it's the Sabres is who we're watching. Since the Sabres haven't been to the playoffs in a very, very, very long time, we're still watching the hockey. I think they just watch for good hockey, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Go ahead, Doc. I was going to say the...
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say people are going to watch the Stanley Cup Final here in Chicago because they enjoy hockey.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to root for anyone.
That, I think, is probably the real ticket, because the hockey itself is going to be engrossing. I mean, the Bruins are coming in having won 7 in a row, and the Blues have won 3 in a row. And both teams have... There are so many wonderful storylines to sell that this thing is just going to sing, and that part is going to make it engrossing for anyone across the country. And you can imagine that the border of New England will go down as far as maybe Connecticut, And then all of a sudden there'll be those Ranger fans who are going to have a hard time cheering for Boston. So you're going to have you'll have the same thing happening as you might have with some parts of Chicago.
I can't.
But that's what makes it fun,
right? But I can't root for Boston to win again. I can't root for the Blues.
No, but you're not rooting. You're just watching.
I think I have an answer.
Yes, Joe.
Yes,
Doc. Two words for the people of Chicago who they should root for: Judd Surratt.
Yes.
The announcer for the Bruins.
Very good point. Yes. The radio voice of the Bruins.
Chicago guy, WGN alum.
Yeah. And you've probably played his calls, haven't you, Joe?
I mean, he
does a magnificent job. And when you consider the internship and the period of time that he paid his dues to rise to this level, he's getting the great reward of having a great team that he can follow right up to a championship, and maybe he'll have one of those rings that he might wear a little more often because he has more times to share in the glory publicly rather than having to go into a dressing room and take the ring off all the time and put on heavy gear.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Doc, I know you got to catch a flight, and we have to run. We have the business lunch coming up. Good luck during the Stanley Cup final, and it's always great to talk to you.
I thank you so much for inviting me on, and I just admire both of you a great deal for what you do service-wise to the people of Chicago, as well as your entertainment. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you so much. Have a great trip. We'll be listening.
Thank you.
Take care.
That is
Doc Emmerich. You can see him during the Stanley Cup Final starting on Monday.
I just want to hang out with Doc
Emmerich.
He's
the best, the absolute best. All right, quick break. We'll check news from the Northwestern Medical Newsroom, then the Wintrust Business Lunch right around the corner. It's 720 WGN. Quick whip around. Jane, who are you rooting for in the Stanley Cup Final? Bruins or Blues?
Oh, Pete. I don't want the Bruins to win it again, and I don't like St. Louis. I'm just going to watch for good hockey, like I said.
Joe?
I'll be looking for a baseball game on TV.
I'm rooting for Boston, for Judd Surratt. He deserves to have a Stanley Cup winning call. That'd be really cool.
I can't root for Boston to win something again.
You're going to root for St. Louis?
No.
They haven't had a championship in like 104 days.
You mean Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I just can't do it. And St. Louis has that sick girl. Does she have cancer or some type of disease that they bring her out to every game and then they play the song and the whole deal? Yeah. But I'll watch. You're right. I'm not rooting for anything.
Well, like,
entertainment.
You know, as we said, there's emotional stories behind it. There's all this good stuff. And, of course, there's always great hockey.
You got so mad at me when I asked you who you were rooting for. Oh, Pete. What do you mean? Yes. WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway for two in Europe. Listen
now
to win
talking.
Your way to Pucks in Prague.
Now you're talking.
I know people that are planning their trip now to go to Prague to see the Hawks and then the Bears in London.
Great.
Yeah.
When is London? When's that?
They're all at the same time. What is it, a week apart, Joe? You should know this.
Well, I know the Hawks are what, early October, October 4th, I think?
I think the Bears are a week later or a few days later. They're, they're near each other.
I want to know the Bears-London date. I'll look it up. Thanks.
Pucks and Prague. I wish we had that Google machine. It is Pete and Jane in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It is time for the Wintrust Business Lunch. Then Andy takes over at 12:30 for the Chicago White Sox.
I love this song.
Well, it's Saturday and the sun's out and everybody's happy, right?
Amen.
Yes. We have a guest in studio. We're going to talk wines here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. He is the wine director for Hog Salt Hospitality. He's a master sommelier. It is Jim Boob. It's good to see you.
Hey, Jim.
It's good to see you.
Thanks
good to be
for
here.
Coming in.
Of course. Pleasure's all mine.
What is it with white wine and rosé when the sun's out? You want to drink it.
You need it. It'd be unsafe not to have it.
It would be unsafe not to have it. Let me ask you this. Describe the job of a master sommelier.
So my actual job is the wine director for Hog Salt Hospitality. It's a big job. We're a large growing restaurant group. So I manage everything related to fermented grape juice and education within our company. And then sort of on the side, I am a master sommelier, and I have the good fortune to be employed by a great company that allows me to go and do a lot of education on behalf of the Court of Master Sommeliers. So I do that as often as I am able. And
it's tough to be to get your certificate in wine, a CSW, CWS, what is that? And then you're a master sommelier. Like, this is a lot of schooling.
It's it's all self-taught. At the Court of Master Sommeliers, we sort of learn it on the street, so to speak. We're really fortunate to have an amazing community here. We have I personally run a great tasting group that meets every Monday morning, and we get everyone in the community together.
Wait a second. Hold on. You just kind of brushed over that. Yeah. So a wine tasting on Monday mornings.
Monday mornings.
How do I get involved in that? I'd like to sign up.
Call me.
They spit it out. Me. They
absolutely
taste and spit.
Yeah. It's like church for non-churchgoers.
So what are the restaurants in your group?
So we have Bavette's, okay. Gilt Bar, yep. Mods. We have High Five Ramen, a little burger place called Au Cheval.
Burger place, Au Cheval.
Yes.
Best burgers in the United States, apparently.
So I hear. Uh-huh. It's a pretty solid hamburger.
And Au Cheval is on Halsted and Randolph Street, and there's probably a line already coming out of the front door.
Yeah, a little bit. I think had we known it was going to be as popular as it was, we may have made a bigger spot, but that's all above my pay grade. But we just opened one in New York, so if you find yourself in Tribeca, come see us. There's a little bit more room out there.
My cousin flew in from Las Vegas, and he took a cab from the airport to the restaurant to get a burger because he's read about it.
Oh, brilliant.
I go, we could have went together. He's like, nope, I had to do it. I had to make sure that I had the burger.
Wow. Yeah.
Outstanding.
I mean, all of those restaurants are truly amazing. The restaurant group, right, is on this trajectory of high growth.
Yeah, we're growing, we're aggressive, and we're hoping to see some new stuff coming at the end of this year, so stay tuned.
Any new concepts, like flavors?
I see the donut vault on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Is that one of yours?
Sure is. Imagine showing up to work every day. You got
to
look
donut vault
in the face every day.
There's a line out the door. What is that? Franklin and Kinsey, right? Mm-hmm. Right on the corner.
Yeah.
There's always a line. Yeah.
It's a solid donut.
And you follow them on Twitter, and they tell you what's available, and once it's gone, they close the doors.
Had one yesterday. God bless America.
So wine and donuts. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's living right.
When did wine become such big business? I feel like it blew up maybe about 15 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think you could really trace it back to, I think, the time French Paradox article was, a big one when America started really kind of getting keen to it and looking at certain parts of the world that lived longer than we did and were eating fatty food and drinking wine in excess. And we were like, that'd be nice to...
Yeah,
to
drink wine and
drink
live
wine
longer
and eat duck breast and so on and so forth. And
still be able to do that. So, but they say having a glass of red wine is actually good for you. One glass.
Yes, there's a lot of. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm not a doctor. I'm a gentleman who deals in wine, and I drink it every day and try not to do too much. But some of the studies have borne out that a moderate intake of alcohol, red wine specifically, is beneficial.
Good for the heart.
Yeah.
Good for the soul.
I mean, you're in great shape. He's skinny.
He looks great.
Right.
Is the after all those restaurants? I mean, you must work out. Is the wine business overseas in Europe and elsewhere? I would say, is our wine business in the United States catching up to their wine business?
It is. And it's Europe has actually, I believe their consumption is decreasing a little bit due to some pretty intense drinking and driving laws that have been put on. So consumption has been decreasing in some pretty historically high consumption areas. And consumption is still growing from what I recall in the United States, but I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a little bit of concern over the cannabis industry's growth in terms of our business. We've seen it a little bit in Colorado and some of the economic bellwethers there. So it'll be interesting to see the next few years.
I'm going to take a quick break because we got White Sox baseball coming up at 12:30, and I want to get to the wines that you brought in, and we're going to sample some of these coming up next, okay? Jim Boob in studio. He is the wine director at Hog Salt Hospitality. Can people follow you on Twitter?
Please.
Yes. What is your Twitter handle? Because I retweeted what you... yes.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
At Jim Boob. Opinions are my own.
B-U-B-E.
B-U-B-E. German for young boy.
Thank you. American? I was wondering what that was.
American for boob.
It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Jim Boob is here. He's the wine director for Hog Salt Hospitality. And we have to throw a shout out to Steve Hirsch at Heritage Wines, who is a mutual friend of both of ours. And I was out with him the other night at Florence and the Machine.
Drinking wine.
I'm sure Hirsch wants that to get out. I went to Florence and the Machine with McMurray. What is that? And I said, hey, we need a wine guy for Saturday. And he mentioned you. He said, I got the perfect guy.
He's a mensch, my old employer. Wonderful man.
He is.
Well, we're glad you're here. And we're glad that you brought some wines.
Amen.
Thanks. To us about them.
So I'm going to taste through some four wines sort of at top of mind. I just had the good fortune to go visit with a mutual friend of ours in Greece. And so we have a couple of Greek white wines here to sort of start it off.
So you were in Greece with Ted?
Ted DeMontis from Diamond Imports.
And when did you get back?
I got back four days ago.
Wow, you just got back.
Yeah.
How do you justify that trip? Do you say, I got to go sample some wines in Greece?
How do you not? How do you not?
So where were you?
Kind of all over. We were in Crete, started out in Crete. Yeah. We went to Santorini, which is we'll taste a wine here in a sec from there. Up in Nausa and Amyndion in the northwestern sort of Macedonian area.
Uh-huh.
A little bit in Athens, Thessaloniki.
I love Thessaloniki.
Yeah, and then the southern Peloponnese.
Where in the southern Peloponnese?
Nemea.
Oh, you were in Nemea. Yeah. Have you heard of Monomvasia?
Sure did.
That's where I got engaged. Yes!
I hate to break up this Greece talk, but we got to try the wine.
Sorry.
It is the Wintrust Business Lunch.
So this is the Greek wine.
So starting here, we have 2018 Skouras Moskophileros. Mm. This is from southern Peloponnese. This, to me, is absolute quintessential summertime white wine.
That
floral.
Is delicious.
It tastes like summer.
Is this
very
from
light.
The Nemea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually from an area called Mantinea.
Uh-huh.
But near there, southern Peloponnese, and beautiful, breezy.
Very light
and
fruity.
And southern Peloponnese is mountainous, and then it connects to the water, and there's beaches. It's beautiful. Can we get this if we love this? Can we get it
absolutely.
Locally?
It's available. We don't currently carry this wine in any of our restaurants, but this is something that is sort of on the docket. I'm looking for a home for it.
I may have to take that bottle home.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Well-stocked wine retailers.
What's number two? Yeah. We only have a few minutes left. Remember, we have White Sox baseball coming up.
Fair enough. So number two from Santorini, fascinating place. It was the soils are from the one of the largest volcanic explosions in Earth's history.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff and rich, tactile, age-worthy, beautiful white wine. Rich, volcanic.
It is volcanic.
Decadent.
Yeah, it is decadent.
So this is from Vasaltis Vineyards, a really young, exciting producer from Santorini. In my opinion, making the best wines on the island. Not inexpensive, but pretty great stuff.
What are we talking for a bottle?
Retail would probably be around $50.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, I think fairly priced considering the quality.
What are we looking for in a good wine? Something that's smooth?
I think something that speaks to you. You know, it's very personal. It's like, you know, someone could recommend the best, country music song to me. It could be the best country music. If I don't like country music, then it's not going to speak to me. It's in my opinion, very, very personal. I think you got to go out.
That makes sense.
And, explore what you like.
Now you have two red wines for the red wine lovers.
Two red wines for the red wine lovers. So we have August Kessler here, who's a great friend who actually splits his time between Germany and Chicago. So he spends part of his time in the South Loop. He's a wonderful, wonderful individual. And this is the Daily August Pinot Noir from Germany.
That's
so,
a Pinot Noir?
Yeah. So lighter. It's red wine from predominantly a white wine producing region, but I think it's killer.
It's delicious. It seems a little bit heavy for a Pinot Noir. Mm.
It's a warm part of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think there's good concentration there.
You're right. It is a little heavier, but it tastes great.
I love the way that you drink your wine, too, because you're swishing it in your mouth.
Yeah, is that good for radio? I don't know.
Yeah, sure, because we need to hear things. Yeah. As we're tasting, everyone's like, well, I wish I could taste some wine,
Jane. The last one looks very heavy. What is this?
Yeah. So this is more dark, inky, and rich. This is Tinto Negro Malbec from Uco Valley, Argentina. We actually pour this by the glass at Gilt Bar. And to me, really exciting young producer here as well. Super high elevation mountain vineyards in Argentina.
Wow.
And boatloads of quality.
Well, you can smell it.
I gotta be honest with you, Malbec is not my favorite, and this is delicious.
Malbec is changing.
Malbec is changing.
Yeah.
Is it changing the face of the wine business?
It's the styles have been more. It sure is. I also share, you know, I think historically a mutual distrust of Malbec, but in the United States, we're starting to get higher and higher quality Malbec every year. It's been really interesting to watch the quality strides that Argentina has been having.
Jane, your favorites out of all four?
I really love the first two Greek wines.
Yeah, the first one, one is my favorite.
I'm a red wine drinker,
very summery,
and I love the first two white wines.
If I'm drinking wine, it's usually Pinot. My wife's drinking rosé, and the women in the rosé, it drives me crazy. Enough with the rosé. Let's expand a little.
Rosé is having a moment.
It really is.
It is.
It's lovely.
These Greek wines are fantastic.
Really good.
Aren't they?
Really
good.
Yeah, go pick them out. I still believe they're the high-quality Greek wines on the market are some of the best values anywhere in the world.
Whoopa!
Yeah,
Jim,
your people.
Thank you for coming in.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
You can follow Jim on Twitter, Jim, B-U-B-E. And, of course, the wine director for Hog Salt Hospitality. What are the restaurants? One more time.
Mauds, Gilt Bar, Bavette's, Cheval, High Five Ramen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Three Greens.
Just ask for Jim when you're at those restaurants.
And
he'll come over
vault.
And recommend
wine
for
you. I'm at all of them all the time.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Jim.
It's 720 WGN.